We have been soliciting strategic investment and M&A interest since January. And since we got an environmental permit, the interest level is extremely strong, way better than I expected.
Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Andy. Good to be on again.
Yeah, thanks for coming up on board. Let's get right to it. Last time we had you on, this was back in early November, you made the comment that a lot of news was going to be hitting the wire and coming out, and boy, did it. So let's walk me through the, what's been happening since November. Your merger, that was big news. Let's start with that, your merger. Tell me about the project and why you did that and what that brings to the table.
Yeah, good place to start as a recap. I like to do a lot of forward-looking statements because that's how I build trust with our listeners. I like to try to tell people what's going to come. Then I come back on your show and hopefully it checked off all the boxes. And we sure did in the last months. But I can't say it was as great for the last 7 years. So it's finally, things have really aligned. And I think the momentum is forming on the stock. We found ourselves in November of last year with uncertainty on the timing for a final permit. There was a constitutional court challenge underway on the permitting process, which was sorted out in November. The judges upheld the process. We got our final environmental license in January, so a huge success there. But we found ourselves in a very difficult market for juniors, trying to raise $15 to $20 million. The CS through final permitting, a change in government, and hopefully the last cash to take us to starting construction. And it was very tough to find that in the market. And I don't think it was there as a public markets offering. The only way to get that, I think, was to look to creative solutions. And that's what we were working through all last year. We looked at multiple transactions through the year, strategic investment, M&A, sale, mergers of equals. We ended up doing a merger of equals with Luminex, Ross Beattie's Luminex, great shareholder base, obviously Ross Beattie endorsement. In this market, part of the challenge is being relevant. So we're a lot bigger now. We've got a lot more cachet by some of the shareholders that we came from Luminex. Ross underwrote an $18 million financing for us. We came out of it in January with our environmental permit in hand. That's pure luck, but everything really aligned there over those months. Billionaires get rich because of timing and luck. We came out as a 100 to 140 million range market cap rather than 40 and out of cash. You know, we were 120 with 20 plus million cash. And we came out of it with the second largest exploration portfolio in Ecuador while combining both companies. Packages together, all prospective for copper gold, and just behind SolGold for the largest exploration portfolio in Ecuador. So while some people thought it was very dilutive to us in connection with our El Domo, high-grade El Domo project, I saw it as company building and providing huge optionality and a much more diverse backdrop to build a company. And I'll just point to one thing, the Condor project that Luminex brought to us, 8 million ounces of gold equivalent. Yes, low grade, but between $1,600 gold, $2,500 per ounce gold, the net present value, 5% after tax, goes from $400 million US to $1.2 billion US. And we paid $30 million for that asset.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's music to my ears. That's great. Let's take a step back, and not to interrupt you, but let's take a step back because I think in my mind, well, I'll tell you this. When I heard of merger, I immediately thought shareholders were going to be diluted. And then I saw Ross's name, which gave me a lot of confidence because that's who you want to do business in this world. If you would, walk me through, if you can, and maybe you can, walk me through how did that all happen? Because in my mind, it certainly seems a no-brainer, but that's like stuff like that. You have to, it's a process, if you would, to get that kind of brand, for lack of a better word.
Well, we've always wanted to have a household name like Ross in a register. This is my first movie. People don't know me. People are still building a view on me. We've done a lot of good work. We've stayed with the story. We've fought for the story. And I think people have been recognizing that. And I think Ross and his team recognized that 5.5 years into the business. Multiple very reputable groups, including mining moguls, have tried to acquire the Curipamba El Domo project over the last 15 years, including Ross and his gang. We both found ourselves in a very difficult market, difficult Ecuadorian backdrop, and give credit to the Luminex team. They came to us in September of last year and said, look, you need to raise cash. We need to raise cash. We both need to get more relevant. You got a great project. It's the type of project for Ecuador today and the type of market today. Our projects can create a nice pipeline. Let's see if we can put something together where it is, we will throw all of our capital and resources to help put Curipamba into production, including solving our equity funding gap. And we're going to use this portfolio to provide additional optionality and leverage for investors. And if you think about it now, Ecuador is still a new mining jurisdiction in the world. Take your pick mining company that is interested in Ecuador, but doesn't want to take on a massive project. They could acquire Adventus today and have a fully functioning all Ecuadorian team, second largest exploration portfolio in Ecuador, 8 million ounces of gold. Oh, and the highest grade undeveloped copper project in the world about to start construction, or say 150, 200 million Canadian. So it's a really nice synergy that all came together and we all identified it. And we went from initial discussion at Beaver Creek to announcing a deal within 2 months.
Yeah.
The alignment of people was perfect. We were commercial. It was really nice.
Yeah, that was quick. Well, congratulations on you and to you, and congratulations to the shareholders, and congratulations to Ross. It seemed like it really came together. Walk me through, you said you got the permitting finalized in January, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we embarked on the environmental impact assessment in December of 2021. We expected it to be approved in 12 months, and because of various governmental issues, let alone a 7-month protest that shut down all of Ecuador economically, we ended up getting our final environmental permit in January of 2024. A week before the deal with Luminex closed, one of our proudest achievements there is a month before that, the government went into our communities around the project and carried out a vote. It was a non-binding vote, but nonetheless a vote with the question, do you support the construction of El Domo or not? They received a resounding 98% in favor. So over the years, I was telling people, look, the community support us, but you can't actually prove that until there's something like that, and made me really happy. And I really feel beholden to the communities to advance this project and give them prosperity that they all deserve. There's more permits than just that. We received our water discharge permit for operations, which is obviously a difficult one to get. We received our tailings permit. We received the authorization to convert our exploration license to exploitation. It's not a final stamp document yet, but all the terms of reference are agreed to. And where we stand today, we don't believe we are permitting rate limited to start construction anymore. So huge milestones here the last few months.
Yeah, and it's, I guess for the listeners, really the stock price is starting to really reflect all of this. So again, congratulations to you. So let's take me through until the end of the year. Map that out for me. Are we on time on construction? And what are the ETA on things? And what you can talk about and what you can share, what should be investors be aware of that's coming up and what to be looking for? Again, what you can share.
Yeah. The government signed with us the final form of the investment protection agreement on our project in December 2022. So the government wants the investment, wants to get on with it. The communities have supported us. The government is desperate for foreign direct investment, and we have the largest committed pool of capital for a foreign direct investment project in any industry. So we want to start mobilizing for construction and getting going with this, with the view of being in production as soon as possible in 2026, when I believe copper prices will be at all-time highs, $7-$8, take your pick. So that's the whole goal of this. This is why we're pushing so hard in such a poor market for the juniors. In order for us to start construction, we need a final equity check. Most CEOs won't talk about that openly because they're just going to wait for that financing to come. In our case, it is quite a positive scenario that is developing. Yes, doing a public markets equity financing is a solution, and I know we can do that, but that is our last choice. That's the bottom of the stack. We have been soliciting strategic investment and M&A interest since January, and since we got an environmental permit, the interest level is extremely strong, way better than I expected. It's not like our project and our company is unknown. People have been watching us for years, how we navigate through the Ecuadorian politics and a new permitting system. And they've been waiting for that final permit and that final opportunity to get involved as kind of the last money in. So we have multiple junior producers in the gold or copper gold space that generate good free cash, have a strong balance sheet and obviously an operating team, but no growth and no construction team. And a lot of these companies trade at a pretty low multiple, price to net asset value multiple. And so you can actually engineer a beautiful transaction where you marry such a producer with us. It's in most cases with a substantial premium, have nearly a net asset value neutral transaction. And that acquirer provides us the full balance sheet to build. And we just get on with it. That's, I think, where the most excitement is and where I'll be leaning the company towards. But there's no guarantees, of course, in our business. So we also have a second path of looking at strategic investment from all sorts of groups that could help solve that $30 million bug. So it is very competitive. The breadth is very interesting. And our goal is to try to announce such a transaction in Q2, but ideally in May. That's what we've been guiding our investors just at the end of the year. So a scenario, our base case scenario, is that we do such a transaction, M&A transaction in Q2, in conjunction with announcing mobilizing for construction, and off we go. In terms of other things to look for, we are trying to rationalize our exploration portfolio. It's way too big for any junior company to advance. Most of these are big copper gold porphyry projects. They're for the mid-tiers and majors. There's 13 projects in total. Our main project is Curry Pond, but we're not touching that project in terms of joint ventures or anything like that. All right, we have a joint venture with Anglo American at our Pegasus project adjacent to Curry Pond. We announced our first joint venture in the portfolio at PDAC with the Japanese government. That's symbolic in that we mean business around this, and we're continuing to have discussions at various stages to joint venture the remaining 10 projects. And my hope is that we can get at least two, maybe three additional joint ventures by the end of this year. We don't want to hold on to these properties for 2 or 3 years while we're building and commissioning. The sooner we can get drills on them to potentially have discovery, the better. I believe the time value, money, and optionality, every project is worth something. This business not worth anything if you're not doing anything.
Got it. If you would take a step back and just talk about the jurisdiction, you had some issues with Ecuador, if you would. You mentioned that there is a nationwide strike. Do you anticipate any other issues? Are they becoming, and I ask this almost rhetorically, are they becoming more friendly with you? And I'm sure they are, but if you could comment about that, what's going on?
Yeah, what is consistent about Ecuador since we entered willingly in late 2017 is that they are very motivated to build a mining sector. That hasn't changed from government to government. They understand that in order for the economy to survive under US dollar currency, they need to continue to build their export business. Their oil business is waning. It's all about mining. Copper is their quote unquote contribution to climate change. So that's been awesome. Our access to government has been awesome. What it's navigating is it's still in the earlier stages of developing into a mining country. So not all the processes, such as the permitting and consultation process, is tried and tested. We're the first one to have gone through that with a major project. So there's some noise. There's legal challenges. There's indigenous and NGOs that are trying to stop these projects. One thing that's definitely occurred is the new president, Daniel Noboa, is so far a star. He ran on security and jobs. He's tackled head on since November the security issues the country's facing. If he continues to do that, he will be multi-term president. This Ecuadorians are not violent people. They hate this hijacking of the economy and society. And so far, so good. And as a result of that, he's polling over 80% support. On the jobs front, now that he's got the security somewhat balanced, now he's trying to push that, and mining is at the forefront of that push. He has a very strong support, as I mentioned, over 80%. So he can do things differently than the last presidents, who at the end of their terms, the last two, had low teens support. So he's openly talking about advancing mining. He came to PDAC, first time a president came to PDAC to talk about mining. And he's talking about mining being a solution to the unemployment levels, in particular for youth. He said in Toronto here, they either go to the cartels and the criminal side of it, or they can get a job in the mining sector. There isn't a lot for them these days. And so that's one of the agendas he's pushing. So I think the timing is right for mining. I think it's the right president. I think he understands. And the last presidents wouldn't talk about mining publicly because they felt that would erode their support. This president is. Are there going to be challenges? Absolutely. NGOs and indigenous have been emboldened by some of the statements at PDAC. But they certainly don't have the same unification and support levels they had over the last 5 to 10 years. So I bet on this president. I bet on this time for mining. I think Daniel will be here for a while.
Excellent. And so just for the record, I am very optimistic about Ecuador. And I'm a big fan of the president from all that he has done for security, as well as putting people to work and the economy. And doing it in the right way, very market-driven way. So thank you for saying that. Anything else you want to leave our viewers and listeners with? And then, yeah, just give us your closing thoughts and what you would say to your shareholders.
Let's talk about the stock first.
Sure.
We've had over the last 7 years pretty good success raising capital, over $160 million of equity. The average price of that is over 80 cents Canadian a share. If you look on the Luminex side, it's not too different. So both Luminex shareholders and Adventus shareholders, you could say, are long-suffering shareholders with most people underwater, even though I feel like we've done a very good job tackling the issues in front of us and continuing to advance the business. The main reason I think Adventus is where it is we had so much success with institutional raises pre-COVID. That on the back end here in the last 2 years with this liquidity crisis in the junior sector, we suffered from such a large institutional ownership base. We had multiple large institutions sell us for various reasons, shutting down, PM changes, liquidity threshold changes, etc. And when these institutions sell, they sell vigorously and they don't really care about what the stock does. And if you look at our share price, you see multiple downswings, 10, 20, 25% in some cases in an illiquid market. And we find ourselves here. We dropped to 22 cents here a few weeks ago, and now we're starting to build. The trend is reversed. Momentum is building. And ultimately, what is different about Adventus than any other mining company on the planet is we have the next copper mine to be built, brand new greenfield copper mine, the next greenfield copper mine to be built in the world. We think we're 2 to 3 years ahead of the next one. So if you believe in copper and you want to have exposure to that, you should look at us. And by the way, we're the highest grade undeveloped copper project in the world. So you got grade, you got the next one up, and that has allowed us to push during this difficult market and assemble the construction team, put together the project financing. And now it looks like Ecuador is primed to shine. So you get all of that for 15 to 20% of our net asset value. And you have very serious and meaningful owners who are deeply underwater. So we really care about the net asset value per share. We care about how we get back to 80 cents a share. So for those that are wondering if you should buy in the market today or wait until a transaction, I'm going to bet today you're going to miss out on that wonderful opportunity if you wait.
Excellent. Yeah, I would actually agree with everything you said, and that's why I had you on. If you would, can you just give your contact, or worse, can somebody do more due diligence and research about Adventus and by yourself?
Yeah, my name is Christian Carlos Simard, President, CEO, founder of the company. We have a public website, www.adventusmining.com. There's a comprehensive corporate presentation there. All of our presentations and press releases have my email address and direct phone number at the back of it. I don't shy away from talking to anybody. I encourage people to give me a call. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, Christian. I will put all of this in the show notes.
Cheers.
Cheers.